You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education podcast special ahead of the 2018 Asia Universities Summit, which takes place in Shenzhen, China, from the 5th to the 7th of February 2018. The summit is hosted in partnership with SUSTECH, Southern University of Science and Technology, an institution which opened its doors just 7 years ago, located in a city which just 3 decades ago was a remote coastal fishing village. These days, Shenzhen is one of the largest cities in the world. It's at the forefront of China's technology industry. The biggest high-tech companies in China, including Huawei and Tencent, are based in the city, which is now home to about 12 million people, and you can double that number if you look at the wider metropolitan area. Looking ahead to the summit with me today are Jack Grove, recently returned from a trip to Shenzhen, Rachel Pells, who will be out at SUSTECH covering the summit next month, Phil Beatty, Editorial Director of our Global University Rankings, and Tim Savula, Head of Content and Engagement for the World Summit Series. Later in the podcast, we also have an interview with Professor Chunmiao Zheng, Dean of the School of Environmental Science and Engineering at SUSTECH, who will be telling us why China and Shenzhen in particular are such desirable places to study and carry out academic research. Phil, though, we'll hear a bit about the specifics of the summit shortly, but on a macro level, the sort of rapid rise of Shenzhen as a city probably isn't a bad metaphor for how China's universities have developed on the global stage in recent years.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people in China had actually expressed surprise that we'd chosen a relatively unknown 7-year-old university to partner with. You know, we're usually doing events with the likes of Tsinghua and the top-ranked universities around the world. So there was surprise there. But actually, for me, it was all about the location in Shenzhen and, of course, the story of SUSTECH itself. It's only 7 years old, but it's already making rapid progress, and I'm sure Jack will tell us a bit more about that in a second in terms of its investment, its development. But, you know, Shenzhen is a story of phenomenal economic growth. It was a rural fishing village, as you said. It's now the third biggest city in China. It's got 30,000 tech companies. And it really does symbolize this move from a rural economy in through to a manufacturing economy, and now, of course, it's an innovation and research-led economy, and the universities are at the absolute heart of that change, so it's a fantastic place to have the event.
Indeed, Jack, and as Phil alluded to there, you were out in Shenzhen quite recently and doing some stories for Times Higher Education. What was it like on the ground?
It's quite an interesting place because you fly into Hong Kong. Hong Kong is very buzzy and exciting. And then you take a 45-minute train and you go through the border and you're in Shenzhen. And people say it's a bit like the Wild West. It is really quite full-on. But actually, SUSTECH is out in what you'd call the suburbs. You go down a sort of corridor of green and you're in this very nice wooded area, which is apparently where all the politicians have their holiday homes and weekend retreats. So it's actually quite interesting. But even that area has got loads of high-rise buildings going up, and apparently, you know, there's in the last 2 years, something like 20 have gone up around this university site. People see this as a really important part of Shenzhen, and it used to be that Hong Kong was very much the sort of the value-added capital of that area, but now Shenzhen is sort of getting in on the action, and it's no longer just the sort of metal-bashing, low-skilled manufacturing hub. It's now very much a sort of high-tech Silicon Valley of China, where if you want to get in on the sort of the technology boom in China, that's where you go.
Indeed, and universities, of course, very much key to that development. Rachel, you'll be out at SUSTECH for us covering the summit, and it kicks off in early February. You've got any highlights from the programme that you're particularly looking forward to?
Yeah, there are lots of sessions I'm really excited about, actually. There's one taking place on the morning of the 7th of Feb, how universities can lead the fourth industrial revolution. As someone who covers research, I find this a really interesting topic, the power of research in influencing global policy and how the development of technology is helping to create opportunities for collaboration between different areas of the globe. Mm-hmm. Keith Burnett, who's Vice-Chancellor of the University of Sheffield, is speaking on this session with John Gill, also Margaret Gardner, who's President of Monash University, and others. He actually wrote a blog about it for us in this week's magazine, in which he says we need to quote-unquote, get real and engage more with emerging powers like China, which is just way ahead of the game in terms of science and tech.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting for me.
Indeed. Tim, obviously you were sort of, you and colleagues put this programme together. Anything jumping out of you that you're particularly looking forward to hearing from at the Asia University Summit?
All of it, Chris,
of course,
is really exciting, actually. I think it's possibly the summit where we've got more university presidents speaking than any other. There's 25 presidents coming, plus, you know, CEOs, plus the president of the Chinese Natural Science Foundation. And as you've described, you know, it's a really wonderful, really exciting place to be. I think if I had to choose one session, the closing panel, actually, we've got six speakers with experience right across the world of the world's top research universities and areas. There's Jeff Lehman, the Vice-Chancellor of NYU Shanghai, formerly President of Cornell, Baroness Valerie Amos, the Director of SOAS, but, you know, formerly, I think she was a UN Undersecretary General, Amit Chakma, who has a remarkable personal story coming from Bangladesh to becoming President of Western University in Canada, Menahem Ben Sasson, the president for 8 years of Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Paul Tam, the provost of Hong Kong University, and Raj Kumar, who's the vice-chancellor of O.P. Jindal Global University, one of India's top private institutions. And they're talking about breaking boundaries and the ability of universities to overcome sort of diplomatic or economic divides that seem to be rising faster and faster around the world. And I think they're talking about that both from an intellectual perspective, but also about the kind of the hard tactics that university leaders can employ in terms of steering their institutions and inculcating attitudes amongst their faculty and students, and, you know, what's the right level of promoting globalization or, you know, sort of a cosmopolitan outlook. And I think having those six speakers, you know, with the perspectives they all have from places like Hong Kong, which is very much you know, in the limelight as being, you know, I suppose it's always thought of itself as a crossroads from mainland China and the rest of the world. But I think it's going to be a really, really stimulating and provocative session, and that's going to be the one I'm most looking forward to.
Indeed, yes. Rachel mentioned there that Keith Burnett has written a piece. You'll find that on timeshighereducation.com. So too has Amit Chakma, who Tim just mentioned. If you head to timeshighereducation.com, there's a very clear summits tab that you can click. There's where you can register for the summit if you haven't done yet and you want to attend. You can also find out all of the information about our upcoming summits and indeed access the news and coverage, including those opinion pieces we just mentioned. Now, earlier this week, I spoke to Chunmiao Jung, who is Dean of the School of Environmental Science and Engineering at Sustech, and I started by asking him why he was excited about hosting the 2018 Asia Universities Summit.
For me, I think to hear global leaders of higher education and talk about the challenges, opportunities for Asian university today, and to really to show our brand new university, Sustech, to the world. And our university is so new, it's really 6 years old. Mm. So probably not many people have heard about us. So this is really a great opportunity to introduce us to a world, our audience.
Indeed. And the city of Shenzhen as well has developed at a very rapid pace. Could you tell us a little bit more about why it's such an important city on the world scale now?
Shenzhen is an economic miracle. I think many people agree. It's evolving from a fishing village 35 years ago to the most dynamic and innovative city of China today, and high tech center. I recall a former U.S. Vice President Al Gore at the function in Shenzhen. He actually said that he has been to many cities and everyone wanted to be next Silicon Valley, but really only Shenzhen may become one. I think the deep financial resources and the innovative spirit and the lack of a world-class university right now in Shenzhen really provide the perfect preconditions for Sustech to be born here. Mm. So there's a reason why Sustech here in Shenzhen.
Many of the lecturers, the academics at Sustech returned from overseas. You yourself had positions in US academia in Maryland and in Alabama from about the mid-80s through to 2013. Why did you return to China to teach at SUSTEC, and why do you think that's becoming an increasing trend? Why is China becoming more and more attractive to these internationally mobile scholars?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually went to U.S. University, Wisconsin-Madison, in 1984, so after my undergraduate. Not many people got the opportunity to go abroad at that time. I think I got the scholarship from Chinese government very early on at that time, very few people. And then after my PhD, I worked in the Maryland in the industry for a few years, and then I got the teaching position at University of Alabama. And I started as assistant professor, and then promoted to associate, to full professor, to chair professor. And then I in the U.S., I think many, this is quite common for many academics. After you get to a certain stage, you can kind of see your opportunity for further development in terms of career. It's not that great. So around 2006, I started to coming back to China to work first at Peking University part-time. But gradually, I more and more involved, and then now I'm full-time here as a dean of a school of environment to start this new program. So really, it's just more opportunities and more greater challenges to work in China.
Sure.
For example, I work on the water pollution. So in the U.S., that's also water pollution, air pollution in U.S., but it's not such a big deal anymore. But in China, we're just getting started to try to solve all the problems.
Indeed. And how important are universities to China's ambition to become the world's dominant superpower in the 21st century? Do you see China's universities becoming more influential on the global stage? And does that mean that more established Western universities might become less influential?
Yeah, good questions. I think that exciting is that Chinese leaders, they do recognize the importance of universities as they really see innovation as the new driver for economic growth. And China has been and is still investing hundreds of billions yuan in pushing its university to become world-class. So you hear this world-class university all the time. In fact, I think some of top Chinese universities, such as Peking University, where I used to work, and Tsinghua University, are already quite influential on world stage. Mm. But compared with some of the leading universities in the world, I think Chinese universities have a long way to go and much to learn. Because I think excellence takes time and tradition and centuries of long time. So, for example, like Harvard or Oxford, Cambridge, they have been excellent for so long, and Chinese universities are really just trying to catch up. Mm. But I don't think it, as Chinese universities become more influential on the world stage, and they would diminish the influence of more established Western universities. I see it as a win-win situation, because the collaboration And some healthy competition, I think, bring everyone to a higher height.
Indeed. My final question really is, in terms of your relationships at SUSTEC with those more established Western universities, do you go about looking for international partners in the West? How important is it for you to have international partner universities, and why do you pursue them?
Oh, SUSTEC was set up to be the best. So that was the motivation why SUSTEC was created. So you want to be best, you definitely have to learn from the best. So the more established Western universities have had such a long history and experience and wisdom. So I think SUSTEC can benefit greatly from collaborating with them, from developing a proper governance structure and talent cultivation, to knowledge creation and global leadership and so on. So SUSTEC now is actively seeking top universities to work together for joint PhD program, graduate training, for joint international research centers and so on. And, And this is a summit, obviously, is one of such efforts. And on the other hand, I see that international partners can also benefit from working with SASTEC, because China is no doubt is a growth market for higher education, and there's no better place to work in China than to start from Shenzhen, because it's such a truly dynamic, innovative place.
That was Professor Chunmiao Zheng there, Dean of the School of Environmental Science and Engineering at SUSTEC, speaking to me a little earlier. Phil, at the summit as well, we mustn't forget, there is a university rankings launch. It's the Asia University Rankings.
That's right, yep. The 2018 Asia Rankings, we're ranking more universities than ever before, 350. And in this part of the world, it's always a really big draw, quite an exciting opportunity. I'll be releasing the results a couple of hours before they go live around the world at the event. And I'm really excited that actually pretty much all of the top 10 ranked Asian universities will be represented in the room. So it's a really great celebration of the strength of Asian education across the whole continent.
Indeed, the only way to get that advanced news about the results is by attending the summit. Head over to timeshighereducation.com and click on the summits tab if you wish to do that. You'll also be able to follow all of Rachel's updates from the summit on our website. But that's all for this THE podcast special previewing the 2018 Asia Universities Summit.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.